Round of applause, square of shoulders, it's Fugcast. It makes sense, but if it doesn't, you can have your mummy back. Quarterback and fried sides of Short and Curly. Is that your spotty backside on the front page of tomorrow's Weekly Bugle? Is that your spotty front side on the back of yesterday's Crispy Amphazan? This script is hand-picked and delivered to Henneth Branmar, who clucks and lays a chocolate egg. My grandfather was 100% fibre. My postman is male. Hey, that sounds like a joke. Did you hear about the... Oh, forget it. I've lost weight, but look, even fatter than usual. I'll have the unusual, please, Tommy. And he pours me a tall, thin glass of welcome to the show. Hello and welcome to Fugcast. This episode is a bit different, but only a little bit. As usual, it involves a tired man reading things into a cheap microphone. But the difference is that the man is a different man. He may sound the same, but is not, is different. I guess what he's saying is that he's changed and now speaks exclusively in the third person. He has also changed his name, and so now the organism previously known as Sam Langley shall now be referred to as Figure A. These changes may seem drastic, but don't worry. They will only last until he finishes reading this bit. This isn't to everyone's taste, but I quite like it. I'm standing in front of a life-size portrait of Viscount Michael St. McAcarelmus. He's fully nude, of course, astride a giant telephone. I painted it myself from memory, having only ever seen the great man just once. Not in the flesh, but via a sculpture my daughter made from blue tack and bottle tops. At least I'm fairly sure it was him, although it could have been Little Miss Telephone, Mr. Mickerel, St. Phone, or another CGI character from some shitty kids show. Okay, now for some housekeeping. Oh, I hate that. As in, what is that? I do have a name, you know. It's Horfrefoff, or Frefoff for short. Look, I know I rub people up the wrong way with my tickly handshake and my corny chat-up lines, but underneath all the sleaze and bluster, I'm actually quite nice. It's always the way, isn't it? People who seem like complete cunts are actually great once you get to know them, and vice versa. If someone appears to be smashing upon meeting them, one should beware, because in 100% of cases, they will be an absolute shite. Simon's salad contains egg and beetroot. Simon's salad contains dill and cress. Rice and moss. Wait, I didn't say Simon's salad. Simon's salmon salad says cress. Simon's salmon salad says contains. Simon cress says contains. Zanamia dronameg cressinda. But wait, I didn't say Simon's salad says... I'm joined today by two very special guests, dog twins Chad Waterhouse and Mac McIckerel. They're not actually twins, though. Look, I'm losing conviction. This is very weak stuff indeed. I had a few Proseccos with my mate Mike Ackerel last night, and I'm not feeling 100%. The idea of interviewing twin dogs doesn't inspire me at all. I mean, Would I make them posh, anthropomorphic dogs? Or should I just record my dogs, Ned and Casper? Either way, it seems pretty tedious. So who should I interview? Answers, please, in green pen on a green star-shaped piece of card, and we'll be back after this. Well, that was quick. I didn't even give my address out, but already I have three star-shaped cards. Although this one's not a very good star, so I won't read that. Right, this one's from Blyon in Mackerel Charterhouse, and it says, Dear Sam, why don't you interview an actual real-life person for a change? Ryan Whittaker or Annalise Newwater would both make great guests, and they're at least 50% real. I'm not really into celebs, thanks, Blyon, and I'm far too lazy to bother with emails and all that experimental modern jazz, so I don't think so. And lastly, Al Blyon in New St. Mackerel says, Dear Sam, I think you should interview yourself. Now, that is a very good idea, and I feel like I could do that quite easily. So, here goes. Sam Langley is a 40-something male from Bristol in the UK. His hair and beard are unkempt, his jumper is covered in congealed oats, and today he's also wearing his trademark surprised expression. He has co-authored two books with one of his past selves, I Know What to Do and No I Don't, and his catchphrase, Am Hey What Hey Guys, is quite nice. Sam, welcome to Fugcast. Hello, and thank you. Now, first, let's get one thing straight. You are me, are you not? Yes, that's correct. And so, are you recording this in one take, or will you record my part first and then yours? Well, it doesn't really matter. At the moment, I'm writing this, but I guess...
Right.
Will you do many rewrites of this, then?
No.
Oh, really? That's... Between my job at the art and craft shop and the kids, there just isn't time, really.
Well, yeah, but there is time, though, isn't there?
Well, yes. Yes, that's been scientifically proven.
Space?
Yeah, space too, that's real. Very tangibly real, like watch this space, or the space between my ears, or hey champ, that's my parking space between your ears there, champ. What about nothingness? Is that the same thing?
Well, not quite the same thing, but very tangibly real, once again, and yes, it's been scientifically proven.
How? Oh, look, I don't know. I read about it in Woman's Willy Weekly or the Daily Corn Hornet, or maybe I dreamt it, or dreamt I read it.
Hey, I have a question.
Yeah?
Which one of us is the real one?
Well, that depends on your point of view, doesn't it? I'm saying this right now in response to something I recorded earlier on my electronic recording device, so to me, I'm the real version.
Yes, but now I am, right?
No, not true, because I recorded all your parts earlier.
Why did you bother doing that? I mean, you could have read it all out in one go, couldn't you?
Yes, I suppose so, but this way I can react to what I've just said. Well, that's the idea anyway, but it always ends up sounding a bit stiff. But then, I'm not a trained actor.
Yes, that's quite obvious.
I am, though.
Oh?
Yes, I was trained in the Waterbridge Method by none other than Danielle Horseforest. The central philosophy of the Waterbridge Method is to play every part as though you're not there. Often the best way to achieve this effect is by not actually turning up, which has led to me being fired from more than one amateur dramatic society. These bumpkins just don't understand.
How interesting. Why is your backstory different to mine, then?
I don't know. I mean, look, I'm writing this on the toilet, and there simply isn't time to go into detail. Right, my stepson Bennett is knocking on the door now. I'll have to pinch it off and go and bollock him. Looking at my shriveled, tired eyes, you might think that my best days are behind me. But you'd be wrong, for tomorrow I find a £50 note on the pavement. Well, hey, I will exclaim, we're all going down the pub, and my imaginary friends and I will all pile into the Rosé and Crowns. What are you having? I will wobble my huge, misshapen head and jangle my huge, misshapen keys. I'll have a pina colada, Antonio will purr.
Well, you can get that yourself. I'm not spending my hard, unearned money on overpriced cocktails. What with? I'm a figment of your imagination. Don't get smart with me, and poof, I will stop imagining her. I will look round at the others. The rest of you will have groblers, all right? 6 halves of groblers, please, Barnum, and I'll have an enormous goblet of your finest burgundy.
Thugcast.
I regularly listen to a podcast about dough. It's called Doughcast. And as is often the way with niche podcasts, the guy presenting it knows sod all about dough. He thinks he does, but he doesn't. In each episode, he interviews a guest who is invariably as clueless as he is. It makes me furious, and that is probably why I listen to it. Now, none of this is true, by the way. It's just my way of saying, pfft, experts, eh? Do they really know what they're talking about? Take me, for example. I'm a renowned expert in talking utter bollocks. At least, that's how I present myself. But am I really? How do you know that I am what I say I am? Come with me now behind the scenes as we take a sneak peek into my creative process. For the last 4 or 5 days, I've been keeping an audio diary. I haven't, but by adding a kind of dictaphone sound, it will give you the impression that I have. Well, it's Tuesday, Jazz Embury the 7th. I'm here in my creative room, trying to come up with some wacky ideas for the latest episode of Fugcast.
What are you doing?
Shh! Go away, I'm recording.
Wanker.
Yes, look, fuck off, will you? Sorry, that's my stepson, Bennett. Anyway, in front of me is a huge canvas and a bowl of egg yolks. I was hoping that working in this new medium would stimulate some interesting ideas. It hasn't so far. In fact, I feel creatively bunged up, but that may be due to the egg yolk. It's Weapons Bay, and I've decided to replace my bees for bees. Which I think you'll agree is undeniably hilarious. But this has led to some unexpected consequences. My wife, Bianne, or Bibi as I call her, has an extreme phobia of bees, and so you can imagine what happened when I released a swarm of bees into the house. What was I thinking? Well, I thought it would give me some good material, and guess what? It has. Bianne had a complete nervous breakdown and has gone to stay with her bab. So it's just me and my stepson Bennett rattling round our vast subterranean home.
Have you finished yet?
What? Look, fuck off, I'm still recording. Today is St. Sefrin's Day, which means the woods surrounding our subterranean dwelling are full of dickheads running backwards into trees, singing disturbing backwards wood shanties and filling empty bottles with cheap cider. Being half Spanish, I must say I find the whole thing not just ludicrous, but actually quite offensive. Needless to say, Dee Dee and Bennett love it. They're out there right now. Which is good, because it gives me some time to write in peace. What crazy ideas will I come up with today? I don't know. How about, well, I've been writing a story about a cloud, and I could carry on. Nah, I'm not feeling that really. There is that bit about a windy day. No. Or maybe I'll go and look out of the window at the wind blowing in the trees. That always inspires me. Wait. No, I live underground. I keep forgetting that. This morning, I've been working on my new children's book. It's called Human the House. It's about a child's drawing of a house called Human, whose best friend and creator is a 6-year-old boy named Tony. As I've said already, I've been struggling to finish my Windy Day story, but earlier this morning it hit me. I can incorporate it into this new one. And it works really well. Here's what I've got so far. Tony and Human go for a walk. It's very windy and Human is blown away. That's all I've got so far, and I'm not really sure what happens next. Maybe it gets blown into a tree. I don't know. I mean, I like the fact it's a windy day, but I'm not sure about the rest of it. I am man. Or a man, if you prefer. I have 2 eyes, a nose, and a mouth arranged in the usual way, i.e. eyes over nose, nose over mouth, mouth over trembling double chin. Look now at my cherry red lips as I say things like, ooh, ugh, blimey, and shall I open another bottle of Prosecco? My long, wispy eyebrows jiggle when I speak, and you like that, don't you? Right now, I'm covered in crumbs. And that's because I've been eating my favourite biscuits, Mickelberg's Mackerel Foam Treats. I've had 5 already, and I may have another. They're just so good. Sweet and crunchy, with a tangy fish aftertaste, and shaped like your landline. Mickelberg's are hard to beat. I'm not sponsored by them, though. No. I'm sponsored by McAckleberg's biscuit-shaped microphones. For the hissiest, muffliest vocal sound ever, I use McAckleberg's. But only when I'm promoting them. The rest of the time, I use a slightly better microphone.
Films with Avery Wayne. Pen Cop 4 is the latest in the Pen Cop series, once again starring Jen Ephigen as the old chewed ballpoint pen, Garen Penn. After losing his lid in Pen Cop 3, Garen is living back with his parents and running low on ink. Meanwhile, a bad robber man is stealing things from people. Nothing valuable, little things like paper clips, small change, blue tack and post-it notes. Can Garen catch him before it's too late? Spoiler alert, no he can't, because he's a fucking pen. Look, I'll be honest here guys, this film is 100% pure shite. A CGI pen? For fuck's sake guys, utter shite. Peacock 5, starring Des Oldwater, is Gatherum, the split pea policeman with a multiple personality disorder, is the latest in the hugely popular Peacock franchise. Following the traumatic events in Peacock 4, the story picks up where it left off, with Gatherum moving back to the suburbs to live with his parents. There's a new baddie in town that's called the name The Robber, played wonderfully by Catherine McSintnew Mackerel Forestwater. Is Gatherum too dried up and yellow to catch the bad female criminal? Spoiler alert, yes, because yep, you guessed it, he's a fucking split pea. Now come on guys, this was not a good film. Pure shite in fact. I'd give it 5 stars, which sounds generous, doesn't it? Until I reveal, that's out of a possible 10 million stars. Dried Apricot 9 stars Taz Ass Ethelmas as the mythanthropic dried fruit bobby Peril Lewis. This is a standalone story and has nothing to do with the previous Apricot films whatsoever. After a messy divorce, Peril moves back with her parents. She hits the bottle but then cleans herself up after being offered a job as a security guard at the bottle bank. On her first day of the job as a security guard at the bottle bank, she sees a really bad robber who she says is stealing bottles from the bottle bank. But is he? Spoiler alert, no! And once again, total shite! That's 4 hours I'll never get back!
Now, as you can't see, I've lost weight and have gone from a size 10 to a size 9, from 3 grams to 2. And I'm now in the 49th percentile, whatever that means. I'm as light as a box of raisins, and my new streamlined look means I'm attracting a lot of attention from the ex-office pet, Tess. She used to be number one around here, but not anymore. I'm the hottest, and she is burning with jealous desire. Or so I'm told by my mate Karen, anyway. I think that's what Karen said. My ears are full of hard, crumbly wax at the moment. It's a genetic predisposition I've inherited, and it's not helped by my insatiable aural appetite for hard, crumbly podcasts. According to Karen, Tess has tried to engage me in conversation several times this last week, and I've ignored her. Now, obviously, that's because I can't hear her due to the waxy build-up, but it seems to be working a treat. The more I ignore her, the more she wants me. I'm having the wax removed this weekend, and I'm worried that once I can hear again, I'll be able to talk to Tess, and she'll realise what a colossal boob I am. Maybe I'll continue acting as though I can't hear her. Yes, that way she will continue thinking I'm a cool guy. Maybe that way she will continue thinking I'm a cool guy.
Early in the morning, having breakfast all alone, and I'm looking at my phone, and I'm thinking of my phone. Later in the evening, having dinner with my clone, and I'm looking at my phone, at a picture of a phone. I hear a ringing in my head, it's phone. I hear a ringing in my head, it's phone. It's phone.
Did you know that I am a man that makes music? Man, do I make music. Did you know that all the crazy music featured in Fugcast is composed and performed by yours truly? Did you know that I have made a new album, soon to be released from Cracked Ass Records? It's called The Woods Surrounding My Subterranean Dwelling, and is a companion piece to this episode. I'll play you a track in a moment, but first, here's a piece of, well, music, I guess you'd call it, by my cousin Oliver White. As you probably already know, we used to play together in a band called The Wandering Hands. Of course, I'm far too busy with my job at the art and craft shop, not to mention my twin whippets, Iman and Ames, to be touring the western half of the UK. These days, I unburden myself of tedious ideas via this podcast. But Oliver, meanwhile, still tours the western half of the UK with his neo-folk project, The Wandering Eyes. And here's the latest single. That was quite good, wasn't it? Reminded me of early Genesis, or maybe late Mike and the Mechanical Horse House. Nice riff, yeah. I'll be humming that on the poop tube. Anyway, back to me and my music. This track is called Child's Drawing of a Drawing Room. You can listen to the whole album at fugwodge.com, mate. It's really simple, mate. www.fugwodge.com. Come on, treat yourself. Well, that is end of show, and end of Sirius, although not much happened can continue to witter on without making much, and then why wouldn't all that leaves is for me, and I mean to say, in the most serious cases, it's probably high time you stop thinking about what it all boils down to, because he'll listen to you, he respects you, but not me. Maybe it's my shrill voice or my thin lower legs. I mean, Lezigs, how old are you two? 3? 2? No, 4? No, 2? No, you're 2. Are you? No? Anyway, I'll drop round with some of my old soups later. Yes, they are old. How old? I don't know. 2? 3? No, 2 years. Out of a possible 50. Plus size, colutes. No, I mean, lots. And crash helmet. Sorry, I'm more fittering.